Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, 11 in the morning Pacific time. Welcome. So nice to have you. And as always, I have a fabulous show for you today. You are going to learn so much about yourselves, about how to deal with some of those low places you may feel. Or if you are battling depression, anxiety, have substance abuse issues, this is the place to be right now. There is no other place to be in the world than right now, right here. Because I have one of the leading experts who's going to help you with a lot of your issues today that have just kind of kept you barely functioning in life. But this man has created an amazing method, and we're going to be talking to him today. But let me talk a little bit about some of the things that go on around us in our lives, and we don't realize it because we're busy with our work and we're busy with, you know, trying to survive and just, or not working, or, you know, we have other issues going on, but we don't really notice things until something shocking happens in the media. I mean, so many of us can't understand why someone as funny and brilliant and talented as Robin Williams would commit suicide. You know, Williams made at least two trips to rehab for drug treatment. At least. That's what we know in the media. I'm sure there's a lot more, including a visit this summer. Of course, he underwent heart surgery in 2009. And sources close to him say that he'd been battling severe depression off and on all of his life, which, of course, is an underlying reason for the substance abuse. Not to mention, you know, maybe chemical imbalance that he inherited. Poor guy. But, you know, it's really strange because I think most of us feel like we lost a good friend because he was so personable and seemingly happy, and he made us happy. So my question is, why do such seemingly happy or publicly personable people commit suicide or have addictions? Well, I'll tell you what. I read a lot of studies, and that's really sort of how I get my information because, you know, this is the real deal. It's not the media. It's real studies. And they show that some of the common reasons why folks want to hurt themselves is due to a feeling of a lack of love or feeling like they don't get the response from loved ones that they have. Despite the fact that the loved ones around them feel like they're giving it to them, they just don't feel that way. Other reasons are deprived sleep, you know, bad health, economic status, physical stamina, just, you know, all those reasons for depression. And maybe Robin had all those. Could also be reactive depression or what we call bipolar depression, dysthymic disorder, which is really a long term, at least 2 years of feeling pretty funky and depressed. And other reasons in studies show that lots of folks, despite the fact that they do have many people around them, still feel lonely and are alone in their depression. You know, and they feel like they need substances or foods or other addictions to make them feel better. But you know what? I tell you something. What I've really observed over the years, it's been about 17 years of working in different places, such as hospitals and clinics, and of course in my private practice office here in Los Angeles, is that unless we have experienced deep depression or have had substance abuse or addiction issues ourselves, we never really understand what's going on in other people's minds. You know, we never get how difficult it is for those who are so deeply depressed. You know, we want them to just snap out of it. Get out of that state of mind. Come on, guys, get stable. Well, I don't mean to bring you down right off the bat here on the show. We're on the couch for a reason. We're going to be exploring our own thoughts and minds and those of others. And today we're also talking about how to manage depression, addictions, and other deep-rooted problems that kind of keep us from living a joyful and happy life. And my special guest today will be Roy Nelson. And I don't know if you've heard of him or not. You probably have. I'm sure you've heard of the Nelson Method. If you Google Nelson, it shows up all over the place. It's number one right up there. He saved the lives of countless people who've been struggling with emotional pain and addictions. He's helped so many people who've been in and out of rehab but never really became happy and healthy until they met Roy and really were taught his own therapeutic process. And he's kind of known, you know, throughout the, I think, therapeutic treatment community as the last resort, right? You've heard of so many people going in and out of rehab. Yeah, my, you know, whatever, whoever, you know, a lot of adolescents, a lot of young adults, a lot of middle-aged folks, a lot of older folks. We put them back in rehab, they bumped out again. 12-step programs just not working. Made them feel real good for a little while. They were sober for a little while, but then they bumped back out again. Because it's so hard to fight that chemical inherited depression, that chemical inheritance that makes you want to take a substance and check out and zone out for a while, whatever it may be, whatever your choice is. And there's a lot of different substances we're going to be talking about, too, that you can become addicted to today. Not only, you know, drugs, alcohol, other things like food. You know, I'm into chocolate. That's my particular addiction, but I'm not talking about me. Just have to manage that sugar level there. So, but we're going to find out more about Roy Nelson today and his depth of spirituality, his depth of love. It's really extraordinary. And, you know, when they come from being with Roy, a lot of clients experience freedom almost immediately. Roy says he really understands what it's like to live with emotional pain and addictions. We're going to be finding out about that in just a little bit. And let me also welcome you all to call in if you would like to. The number here on LA Talk Radio Live is 323-203-0815. 323 right here in Los Angeles, 203-0815. Or if you're shy, as I always say, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me. And that number here is Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Doc Michelle. Okay? And, you know, I've taken your emails. I do have a lot of them that are sort of sitting there and in line, and I'm really happy today to help you with this, you know, and talk to you about problems and addictions that you may have. Because it's all about really becoming awakened, especially, like I said, when we hear about things that happened to Robin Williams. What? Wait a minute. The guy, yeah, he had some physical setbacks. We heard about, you know, his heart surgery. We heard that, you know, he did do substances and alcohol and you know, all that. But my God, he's brilliant. He's funny. He's wonderful. How can he be depressed? What's going on with that? And until something like that out in public, in the media, you know, smacks us with that reality, we're kind of like, oh, that's a shame. Oh, that's too bad. Oh, yes, I have a relative who's been in rehab. Oh, yes, I've been suffering from abuse from my alcoholic father. Or, but until something this profound, it's almost like, wow, what's going on? A lot of people put on pretenses. You know, what is really going on here? I don't get it. You know, why is that? But anyway, once again, we are going to welcome Roy Nelson on the show today. He's, like I said, an amazing guy, a teacher who created the Nelson Method. And, you know, I was just sharing to you guys that Roy is known as the last resort for those who cannot stop their self-destructive habits. His depth of spirituality and love is so extraordinary that clients commonly report that they experience complete freedom almost immediately. Because, you know, Roy understands what it's like to live with emotional pain and addictions. He has tremendous insight and empathy for those in turmoil. And without further ado, let's welcome him to the show. Roy, so nice to have you here on the air with me today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Boy, I really enjoyed watching a lot of your videos, you know, online and how you help people in your treatments, Roy. You're You're such a loving, caring human being. I mean, I just, wow. It's so special to have you out there helping other people.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Sure. And I want you all to know, too, that Roy has an upcoming book that I'm going to have you back on as soon as it comes out, Roy. It's called Love Notes from Hell, Hopeless Stories of Addiction, Obsession, and Recovery, because I really, seriously want to talk more about that as well. So let's get into you, Roy, and kind of share with folks your experiences as an addiction survivor. You talk about your journey from hell, really, in your new book, too. But can you talk a little bit more about your story and what led you to do the work that you do today?
I will be happy to. I just want to mention, just for the information purposes, the book is available for pre-order now.
Oh, great.
So that can be done at my website, but we can talk about that later.
Well, you can give it right now if you want to shoot that out. Then people will be ready, and we'll do it at the end of the show, too. How's that?
Okay. It's RoyNelsonHealing.com.
Great.
And there's also another thing. There's an addictive personality quiz there.
Great.
That a person can check out also.
That's
but the other book can be pre-ordered at this point. So
can't wait.
Anyway, yeah, well, back to my, I always say, well, I kind of almost died at birth, and it kind of went downhill from there.
Oh, my God, Roy. Oh, no. Come on now. Tell us.
I was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck, and I was choking and gasping, and literally, they tell me I almost died. And back in that day, you know, we were born at home, or I was born at home, and you know, the doctor finally showed up, but basically, you know, I was black and blue and didn't know if I was going to make it or not. So I've always been terrified my entire life as a little kid, you know, and very sensitive. And
well, sure.
You know, I grew up in a pretty rough place. You know, my dad was a tough guy. He was, you know, he was a drinker and, and you know, and he, you know, and my neighborhood was tough and the kids were tough and the school back in, before I went to school, the teachers could even beat you up. So it was,
oh my God, Roy.
Oh, it was kind of bad all the way around for a fella like me.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, we get through, and then, of course, what happens is, you know, from the very beginning, from as far back as I can remember, excuse me.
Sure.
I was looking for some relief, you know, and I mean, I was obsessed with sex long before I knew what sex was, you know. Of course, I had early childhood sexual experiences that, you know, stoked feelings in me that I wasn't emotionally equipped to handle.
Of course.
Of course, just the general overall violence. I started using food in fantasy, of course. You know, fantasy is one thing a child has available to them.
Sure.
You know, as relief. And you know, just always obsessed with something. And then, of course, they had a whole lot of severe, really crazy religious teachings that, you know, that were really terrifying to a little fellow like me.
Sure, like you're going to hell, you're a sinner, and that.
Man, I had no way on earth I could, you know, I tried, but I couldn't measure up to all of that.
You have the fear of God in you, honey.
I'm telling you.
It's serious fear.
To me, that, I've had several different types of child abuse, but I believe that's the worst, you know. The very place that you could go to get some relief is the very thing you're most terrified of, you know, and it's just really, but anyway, it all works together for good, you know.
Sure.
It's ultimately, you know, I started using, I medicated, you know, with, you know, fantasy and masturbation and food and then cigarettes and then, you know, of course, work. I worked from the time I was a little kid, always, which I needed to. I mean, we lived in poverty, so I needed to make my own money, you know. But I, and then, of course, I didn't think I'd ever drink, given what I'd seen and experienced as a result of drinking.
Right.
Until I drank.
Right.
And I realized what kind of relief a person like me could get from alcohol.
Right, right.
And, you know, and then, of course, just, you know, one thing and another, I And my idea was to, if I had a lot of money, you know, if you grew from poverty, you think you had a lot of money, you'd be happy. So I set out to, I worked hard, and of course, you know, had some, you know, some success, but, you know, just, and, you know, of course, the sex addiction and obsession was always the main driving force. So the idea, if I had a lot of money, I'd be, you know, could drive big cars and chase fast women and be more attractive and whatever. Of course, I became morbidly obese, so wasn't very attractive. But anyway, it's just an insidious condition. You know, that's that's the bottom line. It's just, and it manifests itself in so many different ways. You know, some more socially acceptable than others, of course. Usually, people who work hard and, you know, who are obsessed with work and you know, that's pretty much socially acceptable, but
but that's an addiction sort of too. It sort of
takes it, and takes away the quality of life.
There
and of course one fellow said, he said he spent money he didn't have to buy things he didn't want to impress people he didn't like. You
there
know?
You go. I mean, what's the sense of that? But still,
so,
you know, exactly.
Yeah, spending money and blowing money and, you know, just whatever.
That's
mean, there's just anything and everything you can do to get some relief, you know.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And that's another thing a lot of people do in quote, recovery.
Right.
There's a lot of things that people do to get relief that literally can prevent them from getting recovery.
Right, right.
Because, you know, if we go through, the only way really to be free is to go through.
Yes.
So anyway, I finally came to the to a place where, you know, I often thought how comforting it would be if only I could believe in God, but I always, I was already convinced that there was no God, you know, and frankly, from what all I'd learned about God, the best hope I had was that there was no God, you know, because if there was a God and all that stuff they taught me was true, I was in trouble.
You were in serious trouble. You were going to hell, buddy. That's right. So, but, so you, you,
so, anyway, but what happened that, actually this has been a number of years ago now, but I was I was at the end of my rope. I'd been going to doctors and therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists and one thing and another for phobias. I suffered from a lot of you know, I suffered from claustrophobia and you know, like on airplanes. That's what first got me going to the doctors was I started feeling really enclosed.
Yes,
when I would fly.
That's scary.
That's what got me started, and then I, you know, of course, once you start, you realize a whole lot of other problems you didn't realize you had.
That's exactly right.
And then ultimately, and I learned a lot of good things with it from the doctors, and a lot of it I still use today, but I couldn't get to where I needed to go, you know, I still was suffering tremendously, and of course I was continuing to drink and overeat and smoke and overwork and all the things that I did, you know, I just, somewhere I was looking for magic and what they were doing, but ultimately I came to a place where I was going to have a spiritual solution.
Sure.
And I don't mean a religious solution.
Right, right.
But I will say that in 1976, when I hit bottom, there were some people at that time running a religious campaign, and they had these bumper stickers, and they said, "I found it." And I didn't know what they found, but they whatever they had, I didn't have it.
That's right. That's right. What is it?
One day, you know, when you're dying, you become open to things you wouldn't otherwise be open to.
Yes,
and
yes.
That's what happened for me. One day I called them, and they sent me something in the mail. I didn't think much of it until that night, after one night, one night late, when I was living in hell, and all the everything I was using to try to make me feel better made me feel worse. And finally, I picked up this little pamphlet they sent me, and it said to the effect, they said, even if you don't believe in God, if you ask him for help, he'll help you anyway. And I had, you know, I didn't have a lot to lose because I was literally, I knew, I mean, I was young and strong physically, you know, and I knew I could, Yeah, I could have survived it a lot longer physically, but emotionally, I lived in hell. I couldn't take the pain.
Sure,
you know?
Heck yeah.
And so finally, I rolled out of my bed onto my knees, and I cried out to God that I didn't believe in.
Yeah.
And I asked for some help, and I had a peace that came over me that night like I'd never experienced before in my life.
Wow.
And of course, naturally, I want to say, that was only the barest of beginnings.
Yes, of course.
You know, I was 32 years old, and you know, I was a father, I was a husband.
Yeah.
I was a homeowner, I was a businessman, I was a veteran.
Yeah, he had a lot of responsibilities.
And I had the emotional development of an infant.
Oh, Roy.
And that's where I had to come from.
Sure.
So growing up is, they tell me growing up is painful if you go through it at the appropriate age.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, postpone it a few decades, it gets worse.
Oh, I bet it does, Roy. Bless your heart. And you're still laughing. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Roy Nelson. He's the founder of the Nelson Method, 28 Days to Freedom. He's also the author of his upcoming book. It's actually available to order right now. We'll tell you how you can get it. Love Notes from Hell, Hopeless Stories of Addiction, Obsession, and Recovery. But it has a good ending. So don't give up on this one. It's a fabulous book. And by the way, Roy is known as the last resort for a lot of folks who can't stop their, you know, self-destructive habits, whether it's food, alcohol, substances, emotional addiction. You know, we're all sometimes, you know, apt to become addicted to something due to our emotional problems. You know, so you've got to understand that there are times that you really need to look at what you're doing, folks, and say, okay, I want to get out of this. And, you know, and we talked about it earlier, Roy, in the case of Robin Williams, I'm sure this poor guy had the best help in the world around him, but just was suffering so deeply. We didn't know why or how or anything like that. But we never know what's in anyone's heart. We never really get that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're,
well, the unfortunate thing is that is, you know, of course, you only hear about the famous ones.
That's
you know,
right. That's
you know
right.
What I mean? But I'm telling you, my experience is there's so many people who are in, quote, recovery.
Yeah.
And particularly, you know, some people just can't get sober or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, drugs, alcohol, you know, food, whatever.
Yeah.
Some people just can't get it at all. And then some people do get sober or clean or whatever, all of the above. But ultimately, you see, if it invariably, alcohol, people with alcohol problems think alcohol is their problem.
Right.
People with drugs think drugs are their problem. Sex, they think sex is their problem. Food, they think food is their problem.
Right.
But so many times they don't, you know, the idea, to get control of the drugs or alcohol, get control of the food, whatever, you can be happy. But my experience is the addiction is really the snowflake on the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
You know, the addiction is really is not the problem. The addiction is what I use to try to cope with the problem.
Yes.
The problem is deep within.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's my experience. And if we don't go deeper within and heal the underlying issues, mm-hmm. then really, it's just really kind of like taking morphine away from somebody with a gunshot wound to the belly. It's pretty much, it's only really a matter of time till they're going to have it again.
Yeah.
And some people can go long periods.
Sure.
But unfortunately, so many people who go, you know, who go back out, if you will,
mm-hmm.
can't get back. Or they get back, but they think they can go back and do what they were doing before.
Yeah.
But no, what they were doing before sent them back out there.
Right.
So you got to go deeper. That's my experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, I'm not certainly not criticizing anyone.
It's, no.
It's an insidious condition.
No, it is. And I think a lot of those 12-step programs are wonderful and have helped a lot of patients who I see. They're amazing, and they stay sober, and they hang on their, you know, their program. But the thing is sometimes...
Absolutely, and I would never... I'm just telling you right here, alcoholics anonymous have been the most successful treatment for helping alcoholics stop drinking in the history of the world.
Yes, yes.
So I'm not in any way criticizing.
And I sure
AA.
Don't. I sure don't think you are.
Yeah, I want you to know that. You know, I want your audience to know that. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Some people can get sober and stay sober and live happy and successful lives, and a lot of people can't.
Yeah, no, they just can't. They're in and out, and it's and sometimes they do just focus on the substance, whatever, like you said, the emotions, the addictions, as the problem. But like you said, it's the root, and therefore you created the life-changing Nelson method, which you include. Within that, the five pillars of transformation, and you've trademarked this, which is amazing because I've done my homework, Roy. I've studied and I've watched your videos, and I love your stuff. So, the processes that you use to help folks with their addictions and emotional issues are really deep. And what I'd love to do is briefly touch on each of these pillars, if okay, so listeners can just get a taste of what they can learn and experience. You know,
well, my what I had to do. Let me just share this with you.
Yeah.
I'm a hopeless case. I mean, 100% hopeless case. It's not there's no way on earth that I could abstain from all the things I need to abstain from.
Yeah.
You know, there's not enough programs, not enough days in the week for me to go to enough meetings, you know, programs or whatever.
Yep.
So what I did, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I just was so out, you know, I didn't know what was going on. But what I did is I sought help from a lot of people.
Yes.
A lot of places, a lot of movements, a lot of, you know, teachings. But I never could find anything or anyone who had all I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I had to do is I had to gather pieces from a lot of different places and a lot of different teachings, a lot of different people.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people help me a little bit. Had a few people help me a lot.
Yes.
But ultimately, what I had to do was gather some pieces from several different places and implement them into my life.
Yeah.
You know, and use what worked and discard what didn't work.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, I had to start sharing that with others. Now, I had no idea that other people could actually get benefit from it. I just knew I needed to share it.
Yes.
And that's how it began.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing things happen for other people that I, you know, amazed me. I mean, and of course, then I've seen a lot of wonderful, you know, miracles happen in people's lives, but the miracle that always amazes me the most is the one that happens within me.
Yes.
If I'm able to touch someone, and touch their heart, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
sure.
So that's how it all began. But what the Nelson method, literally to begin with, it's just really about connecting. It's because I've been to the depths of hell, and because I've been healed by God's loving grace, and I use that, I want you to know there's a lot of people who have this condition, who have trouble with God. And let me just say this. When I say God, it's just a convenient word, okay? I mean, what I'm saying to you, don't get hung up on that. It's a sweet spirit deep within you that I'm talking about.
Okay, higher power within you. Yeah.
The sweet spirit deep within me that's healed me, and the sweet spirit deep within the people I work with that will heal them. That's what I'm talking about. So
yeah,
I just use God as a convenient word.
Sure.
And that's the only thing that can heal me. But essentially what we're talking about doing, you see, if a person... You know, most people who come to me who have tried a lot of other things.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they pretty much played out, you know, any idea that anything else is going to work, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
At that point, I spent a lot of time connecting, just connecting at the heart level with them.
Sure. Exactly.
Because people like me, we had a big wall of love. We have a big wall of fear around our heart.
Yeah.
You know, because we were so deeply wounded.
Yes.
Early in our childhood that we feel, you know, that we can't afford. We have feelings. See, I had feelings brought up in me early in my childhood.
Yeah.
That were too much for me to feel. So I buried those feelings.
Of course.
I buried them alive.
That's what we do to survive. We shut them down, sure.
As a survival thing.
Yeah.
And of course, once, you know, that, and that's true with most, a lot of people. And so when they come, you know, we need to connect and let them know that that I, you know, understand how they feel.
Sure.
Without any feeling they could possibly be having that I haven't experienced.
Right.
And overcome.
Yes.
And so if they start to feel safe, I put a big wall of love around their heart so that they can gradually lower that wall of fear.
Sure. Because most folks who have trauma have that fear and mistrust of others because they don't want to get hurt again.
Well, precisely, because in early on in our lives, we were hurt
right.
by other people, you know. And,
sure.
The thing is, so anyway, that's kind of what we do, and so we start doing, we start doing some discovery work. Once a person feels safe enough, we start
sure.
kind of looking at, you know, at our lives and
right.
how we actually, you know, get in touch with some of the things that we, you know, feelings that, you know, see, I had feelings I thought I shouldn't have.
Right.
And so I pretended I didn't have them.
Sure, sure.
And then I didn't have feelings I thought I should have.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tried to pretend I had them.
And so when you say pretend, you sort of appeared to other people that you really were fine and happy and everything was great. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course that put me in constant turmoil within myself.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't being true to myself. And the other thing is I had I was so ashamed. I remember when I used to go to my doctor's, I'd drive up and down the street to make sure nobody was coming who would recognize my car if I parked in front, or when I drove into the doctor's office, like they didn't know I was crazy. All they'd have to do is go to a party with me and they'd know how crazy I was.
That's right. But, you know,
so much stigma around, you know, the mental illness, if
right.
you will.
Exactly, Roy. So you're helping people really, you know, feel safety with you and feel comfortable and trust and all that, which is easy to do, by the way, with you. You're an amazing guy. But also, in your first pillar, you talk about helping them awaken to their true problem. And this is where you do start working, you know, with them in terms of let's get real. Lovingly talk about what's up with you.
Well, the thing is, that's what we have to get to realize that, you know, usually when people come to me, within the first visit or second visit, whatever they think their problem is usually lifted. In other words, if they're overeating or if they're, you know, binging or purging, whatever it may be. I mean, you know, I don't treat the addiction because the addiction is not the problem.
Correct.
I basically touch the broken heart is what I'm looking to do. But what happens usually, they stop drinking or they stop using drugs or they stop overeating or binging, purging, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And so because once they feel safe, really the addiction is there to drive us to get some help.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And once we signal, you know, that we're going to get some help, then we no longer need the addiction to
exactly.
self-destruction.
Right.
So anyway, so once we get to that point, people realize that the problem is deeper.
Sure.
And, you know, ultimately, you see, the thing is, I had pain. I had psychic pain.
Yeah.
That I was trying to keep down with the substances and the activities that I used, you know, the addictions.
Yep.
And I had a lot of fear. And I, you know, my point is, as long as I had the fear, I mean, as long as I had the pain, I was going to require the painkillers.
Yep.
Long as I had the fear, I was going to need to escape.
Yep.
And as long as I had the guilt, I was going to require punishment.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
Every addiction has those three components.
Yes, yes.
The painkiller,
yep.
It's a form of escape, it's a form of punishment.
Yeah, and punishing ourselves because we feel we're really turning our anger inwards, right? We're self-destructing, so we have to punish
absolutely.
Ourselves.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And so anyway, we start doing some discovery work. A lot of people don't realize how long they've been using something. And so we have them do some little writing assignments to help them to realize some things about themselves, and you know, get a better picture of the whole thing. And you know, the thing is, from the earliest beginnings of my, even from conception,
yeah,
we're gathering data.
Yes, we are. We're soaking it up like sponges, aren't we?
We have no discerning capability and no filter.
Yep.
So much of what we take on is not really, I mean, nobody intentionally poisoned me with faulty data.
Right.
But they were sharing the best they could to, you know, to teach me and protect me. But I gathered a lot of fears.
That's right.
You know, a lot of pain, and of course, based on the faulty data, I formulated my core beliefs.
Sure.
So I had faulty beliefs.
That's right.
And then, of course, based on the faulty beliefs, what I do, I created my philosophy for living. That is my way of navigating myself through this hostile world I perceive myself to be in.
That's right.
And then, of course, based on my philosophy, I created my life.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Well, if you have a faulty belief based on faulty data, you have faulty philosophy based on faulty beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you have faulty life built on faulty philosophy, then you got to have cigarettes and alcohol and food and
that's right,
sex and money and blah blah blah, you know, all kinds
that's
of
right.
things to try to medicate.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
that's so true.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's basically to help them to understand what's not working for them, right?
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
So essentially, it's kind of like discovery work in the sense that, you know, in a legal case, the lawyers would do what they call discovery,
right,
to see if there's enough to make a case.
Right, exactly.
And the same thing we're doing here, we do the discovery work, mm-hmm, to determine whether a person has a big enough problem that they need a spiritual solution.
Yes, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah,
and so,
exactly.
And then if they do, that's when we start to basically, that's where we come to a pivot point,
mm-hmm,
if you will. That's
yes.
where we make the decision either to go forward with a spiritual solution,
mm-hmm,
or to keep on trying to run manage the thing ourselves.
Yes, yeah.
And so anyway, once we come to that place, then we start diving deeper into the heart. You know,
huh.
The problem, you know, obviously lies deep in the psyche and the soul, and
that's right.
And the psychology, it's called the subconscious mind.
Right, right.
In the Bible, it's called the heart. You know, could
right.
be called the soul.
That's right.
But literally, what we're doing is we're excavating.
Yeah.
The soul sickness. We're bringing it out into the open.
Excavating.
And so that a person can kind of bring it out into the open and take another look at it and sort it out.
Yeah.
And amazingly exactly. enough, you know, it really is a powerful thing that it really works.
Oh yeah, it really, you know, again, watching your videos and you know, picking up your book, I think is the deal. I think that's the real deal that people should really look into, and also checking out you and your center. Where you can help folks. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Roy Nelson. He's the founder of the Nelson Method. It's called 28 Days to Freedom, and he's also the author of his book, which you can order now if you'd like. It's called Love Notes from Hell, Hopeless Stories of Addiction, Obsession, and Recovery. And I promise you it will help, and it has a good ending. So this is not all hell, fire, brimstone, and you're going to die and life sucks show.
No, not at all.
You know, this is you can awaken to, and again, let me emphasize too, Roy's not shoving religion down your throat, folks. Roy's really expressing, as he said earlier, to discover that higher power within you.
Yeah.
That you have the strength, that you do have it. And I loved it, Roy, a little bit ago, where you said, you know, our parents, our caregivers, whoever, really tried to, you know, keep us safe, but they had fears and they couldn't help themselves. They tried to do the best they could, but unfortunately, they put a lot of their own fears and their addictions, you know, they're trying to, you know, whatever, on us. And so we're soaking up all of this information because we have no coping mechanisms yet, saying, yeah, I'm pretty bad, aren't I? I deserve the hurt. I deserve the abuse. I'm a bad person, you know. But I just love the fact that you said we learn how to just understand them.
Yeah, and we learn how to forgive.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you see, the thing is, as long as I'm harboring bitterness in my heart towards someone else, I'm cutting myself off from that sweet spirit that wants to heal me and make me free.
Yeah.
And so this is what the whole work is about, is literally excavating the soul, excavating, unlearning, if you will. It's really about unlearning.
Sure.
And so that we empty out, so that spark of divinity that we have deep within us can be fanned into a flame.
Yes.
So then we can be filled with love versus being filled with fear and bitterness and pride and all that old stuff that blocks us from our good.
Yes, that is for sure. And so you have your five pillars of transformation that you teach and you help people with. And so they go through sort of awakening to their problems. And then they go through a personal exploration and discovery. And then you talk about that pillar of transformation, which is really what you just said. Everything sort of converges. Are you ready for this? You know, what are your intentions and desires? Are you ready to actively heal and just release all of this, like you said, false information and negativity? Are you ready? I love the way you say excavate the soul sickness. Wow. That's beautiful. Beautifully put, Roy. Yeah. I like that a
lot. Really about unlearning, isn't it?
Yeah,
it sure is. You know, it's really about unlearning the old faulty ideas and faulty beliefs and faulty data and, you know, faulty philosophy.
But that's all we know, because that we are sort of these little beings, these little souls that come in and say, okay, I'm here, teach me how to do this life. And
right.
And our parents and their parents didn't know how to do this life joyfully and, you know, without pain, without substance, without fear and guilt and abuse. And so we kind of get that from them, and we are victims in a way. But then we have to get to the point, as you talk about in your healing, to where, you know what, I'm not a victim.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, at one time I was, but you know,
now I realize I'm not.
At what point would it be reasonable to grow up?
Well, you know, bless your heart, a lot of us don't grow up for a long time. We all have our own pace and time, don't we?
That's so true. It's so true.
You know, there's no should-haves. I have to be this by age 30. I have to be, you know, healthy. I can't be on these antidepressants, or I can't be this. I have to be successful by the time I'm 34. It's like, what? You do your own process, folks. You live your life. You take good care of yourself. You love yourself and others. And that's the way you work it. But you're amazing.
I'm sorry. I've been doing this work for many years. And I just want people to know that there is hope, that there is a way out, you know, because so many of us have to die thinking, you know, I mean, that's, in fact, the dedication of the book is to loved ones of people who have died from this terrible condition.
Yeah.
And to people who are still suffering from the condition and not knowing that they can be totally free.
Yes. And you talked about, that's so profound, you talked about, you know, how we need something to, you know, any kind of substance, whether it's food or emotional addiction or alcohol and, you know, drugs of any type, to really kind of numb ourselves and shove down a lot of that pain. But, you know, also it's punishment. There is that punishment element to it as well, which is something else. You know, and we just shouldn't do that to ourselves. But we do, because we don't know who we are.
Well, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
And that's another point I'd like to make is that, you know, if you're out there suffering, it's not your fault, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not your fault. I mean, you know, we're always looking, we're always doing the best we can, you know, given the unfortunate thing is with the mind, with the idea that we, because most of us can only see what it's doing for us, we can't see what it's doing to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. That's the unfortunate thing. It's such an insidious thing,
yeah.
That, you know, I couldn't imagine being, you know, I was morbidly obese, and I couldn't imagine eating differently.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, I had to have alcohol because I'd used the last several years. I mean, to begin with, I drank, had fun, and all that, but ultimately, toward the end of my drinking, I used alcohol as a medication.
Sure.
And, you know, I had to have it, and it wasn't optional. And I had a bag of pills, and
sure.
There was a time when I used to hire a doctor, a registered nurse, to travel with me so they could give me IVs and Valium or sodium pentothal.
Yeah.
For the panic attacks. But
sure.
I didn't use illegal drugs because I was claustrophobic and I didn't want to get locked up.
There you go. Well, hey, that's one good thing, Roy. There you go. Oh, that's cute. It's so ironic. You're so cool.
So
I love your
just,
sense of humor.
Just, but anyway, there is a way out, and
yes,
that's the important thing that we want to talk about. You know, that what I mean, that I want to share. And,
yeah, exactly. But, and you're such a loving spirit yourself. You're such a kind, loving man, and that's... Man, if everybody had a dad like you, huh? You know?
Well, I tell you what, my poor children wouldn't, you know, the thing is, I was raising my children at the, you know, when I was at the darkest point in my life, you know,
yeah.
So they didn't have it easy, you know, but you know, but I mean, it's a little different now, but I
sure.
mean, you know,
sure.
God bless them, you know, it's just an insidious, and it affects everybody.
Sure it does.
You know,
it does.
You know, and it's a family condition, it just affects everybody, you
That's
know?
Right. You know, it's really ironic, I just took note, you said the words to everyone, which is so important, and it's part of being a healer like you are, it's not your fault. And I just wanted to throw that out there. It's ironic because Robin Williams used that phrase in Good Will Hunting as the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
It's not your fault that you were abused. It's not your fault. And, it, you know, and here he went down his own path of kind of self-destruction, God bless him, and he just, you know, he really needed the help. But you're so right on, Roy. It's, you know, learning who you are and why you do the things you do out there, folks, and self-destructive habits, and that you don't need to do that, and there's so much more, you know, in life. That's what it's about. What's the best way people can get a hold of your latest book? It's Love Notes from Hell, Hopeless Stories of Addiction, Obsession, and Recovery. That's the good news. And find out more about you, Roy, and your center.
Well, they can go to roynelsonhealing.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on there, there's an addictive personality quiz that they can access. It's roynelsonhealing.com/quiz.
Cool.
And there's a place where they can take a little quiz and determine whether they have a personality, you know, an addictive personality.
Sure.
And, of course, they can pre-order the book, Love Notes from Hell,
mm-hmm.
on the website as well. And also we have an 800 number if a person needs to reach out to us by phone. It's 800-609-4061. And
super.
My team is standing by to assist you in any way and every way we can.
Oh, God bless you. You have a wonderful team of folks, by the way. You really do. And
they're good. They certainly are.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you're here in Los Angeles specifically, right? You're in the
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
We are. In fact, we have people come to us from all over the world,
That's
interestingly
right.
enough, you know, and of course, a lot of local people as well.
Yeah.
But, we have, you know, we've had people in from many other countries
sure.
as well, and
yes.
other parts of this country.
Yep, and you have helped them so very much. I know you have, Roy. Well, listen, we're just about ready to get going. My goodness, time has gone so fast with you. I just want to thank you for this time and your inspiration to other people and all that you do and all the love you bring to everyone. So, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you and much love and to all your audience. I love you guys all and I appreciate you very much.
Mm. Spoken like a true master.
Oh.
Thank you so much, Roy. God bless you. And looking forward to getting your book and having you back on the show and talking about that in a couple of months,
Thank
maybe.
You. Thank you so much.
Take care now. All right, Roy Nelson, once again, he is the author of his latest book. It's The Nelson Method. It's you know, about love notes from hell, stuff that people have suffered, people who he's seen, a lot of his clients, a lot of his, you know, people who have gone through a lot of depression, a lot of problems, and come out the other side doing so well because of his Nelson Method, which you can bring into your life if you're interested. I'll have this show up in the archives tomorrow with all the information on how to get hold of Roy's book and all the information, too. Thanks for listening, everybody, and being on the couch. You can stay here on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I've had a blast with you all today. Thanks for listening, and do take care of yourselves first. See, and then you'll be good for other people. That's the way it works in the world. I'll be back next week with another enlightening show to help you with your lives. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take good care now. Bye-bye.